Yes, let's praise God. And excuse me, I'm just kind of running around getting my, trying to figure out where I'm at right this second. Just praise God. Let's all stand. Let's get right into our service this evening. So good to see each and every one of you. So glad you was able to make it out tonight. I thank the Lord for a... I flipped one on. Did I flip on the wrong one? Praise God. Just want to thank Him for His many blessings and for the opportunity He's given us to gather in His house and for the rain to ease for a minute. I know it depends on where you drove this afternoon, if you was in or out of the rain, but God knows what we need. I'd like to ask, just go ahead and do our spoken prayer request. Anyone on my right side with a spoken prayer request tonight? Yes, ma'am. Oh, absolutely. Always not want to go, anywhere without the Lord being with us. Anyone else on my right side with a spoken prayer request tonight? I know Jim's got family traveling, right? She's out of town. Miss Karen, so. Okay, never mind. Never mind. Praise the Lord. I just was thinking of traveling. Okay. All right. Praise God. Anyone on my left side with a spoken prayer request tonight? Yes, Brother Allen. Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're also getting some other, as we know, as far as the spoken and unspoken prayer requests, those that are texting across, continue to let those come in if you need to, especially if you're not able to be with us this evening. Anyone up on the roster, the spoken prayer request? You want to give us a...
Remember Brother Terry, he's in surgery as we speak. Had a blood clot in his leg. So that's basically all we know. We talked to Sister Connie about 30 minutes before we left home, but she doesn't know anything other than that. So let's just keep him in our prayers.
I'm just glad no matter where we go, if whether we can be with him or not, that God is with him. And I know we'd had a prayer request for Sister Susan and for Miss Tabitha too this evening. Yes, ma'am.
We had prayed Sunday for my cousin that had the infection in his foot.
Yes. Oh, praise God. That is so wonderful. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Love to hear those praises for us. Amen, amen, amen. Well, as we said, if you have an unspoken prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. God sees and knows each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we open this service tonight, dear Lord, may we put you first. Lord, may we ask you to help us just set aside anything that's on our mind, anything that's bothering us. Lord, anything, any need that we have, dear Lord, because with this prayer, dear Lord, we're placing it in your hands. And, dear Lord, we know that you can strengthen, you can guide, you'll protect, you heal. Lord, you'll be with those that are in the hospital or going through surgeries, that even though our families aren't able to gather around them, dear Lord, but we thank you for being with them. Lord, we ask you to touch the doctors, the nurses, all the medical staff. And, dear Lord, now is time that we just ask you just to be with our service. Lord, we ask you to bless our pastor as he brings forth your message. Lord, please accept every song sung, every instrument played, every hand that's raised. Lord, to do nothing but edify and praise you. Dear Lord, because it is all about you. And, dear Lord, in Jesus' name, and we all say,
amen,
amen, amen. One more hand clap of praise for our Lord. While you're standing, one that I love to do, especially on Wednesday nights, on Redeemed, 277, page 277, Redeemed. Let's all just sing and lift up the Lord. Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed, trouble and sorrow. I'm redeemed all the way homeward.
redeemed. Oh, I'm redeemed by the love divine. Glory, glory, rise and fly. All to Him I now reside.
Yes, Lord.
I have been redeemed. Fresh indeed, my Savior to me. I'm redeemed. Happy in glory, someday shall see. I have been redeemed. Oh, I'm redeemed.
We sing, My Redeemer Lives. That's Jesus Christ. You may be seated if you can. I don't want to stop the flow of the Lord and His Spirit, but I just feel it tonight. I'm excited about what the Lord has in store for us. Let's go ahead and we'll take just a little touch of business and we'll get on with our special singing. Don't forget about the food closet, as we've mentioned it many, many times, and want to continue reminding other ministries too. There's so much going on with the young people, the drama teams, and so many things as we get things cranked back up. And also a personal invitation. I know most of y'all probably are, but want to invite everybody to Sunday school on Sunday mornings. We'd love to have you. We have room for everybody. There's plenty of chairs, plenty of spaces for our Sunday school. And our Sunday school teachers do so much in their preparation and taking care of us. And we just want to ask the Lord to continue to bless them. And God has blessed us with a wonderful, loving church. So praise God. You're all invited to Sunday school. Don't forget. You'll hear me say that more and more. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. Do we have any announcements? I don't have anything pending. All righty. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering, please?
Lord, we thank you, Lord, for you being blessed with the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your house, Lord. That you bless all those that made the effort to come out tonight to give you praise and honor that you deserve, but especially bless those who are not able to be here, Lord.
Yes.
That's your bless this offering for the folk of thy word, Lord. Bless all those that have to give, especially those who don't. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
If you would, come on up, please. Praise God. Thank you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Yes, praise the Lord indeed.
It is good to be in God's house. You know, there are some people that still not being able to have church all the time. So I'm very, very thankful that we get to have it now Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night.
Amen.
You know, you don't know what you miss until you don't get to come. So, you know what, you can read your word and you can be taught by the word of God. But there's nothing no better than preaching. That, I mean, it just, because sometimes you may run across something you don't understand, and the Lord will bring it across from the pulpit for you to be able to understand it. Amen. I just love God, don't y'all? Amen. They say there'll be no tears in heaven, but I could understand. For the things that make us cry won't be found in that land. There'll be no pain, no sorrow, we'll never be sad again. It's a place of peace and rest, and the joy will never end.
Jim, if you want to, come on up, please. And then Brother Art, if you would, please.
You know, before I do the song, I would like to say something. You know, I listen to every time we have gathering here, I listen to the prayer requests and I listen to the testimonies, like the sister the other day, Sunday, talking about her illness and everything that she was going through. But you know, it's great to know that we got a God we can go to when we have problems. You know, I listen and I watch so much stuff that's going on, the chaos that we're faced with today. You know, it's so sad to see these people that don't have that connection. And, you know, no one's to blame for that but themselves. But, you know, the thing is I look at it this way also, is that we can go to God for help where there's illness, you know, we're down financially, whatever it may be, you know, He's there. But the thing is that I learned so many years ago, is that it is so simple when we get into these moods. You get depressed by the news and all the media and the stuff you're going on. You just turn to God and say, God, take me by the hand. Just lead me. Just lead me on through this land. Because He will do it. He will do it. But we got to ask Him. We got to ask Him. He's not just going to come down and say, you poor little thing, let me help you up. We got to ask Him. You know? Be sincere. But I look at these people on the TV and it's so sad. It's so sad because they don't have that connection. And if they don't have the connection, they don't have the love in their heart. And then without that, they'll be marching and protesting the rest of their life. It's so sad. Okay.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on, through the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
I sing that song, and it just gets to the part where it says, I'm so tired, I'm so weak. So what do you do? Just a simple thing. Just say, Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Lead me on. Praise God.
But there's darkness deep inside. can't take it anymore. 'Cause sometimes living takes the life out of you, and sometimes living is all you can do. Life is hard, this world is cold, we're the young and the is always understood. Life is hard, but God is good. You start to cry 'cause you've been strong for so long. That's not how you feel. You try to pray, but there's nothing left to say. So you just quietly kneel. And in the silence of all that you face, God is good.
Yes, God is good.
God is good. Amen. Amen. Sister Penny, how about singing Shepherd of My Valley? Which one? Sister Penny, sing whatever you would like.
He asked me to sing The Blood Is Still There, and I've never played it and sang it at the same time, but we're going to give it a shot.
All right. Amen.
Yeah. One dark night in Egypt, a fearful time had come for one little Hebrew boy. It was his father's firstborn son. Now with the angel of death passing low, it was hard to fall asleep. But one little lamb stayed in his mind as he lay there counting sheep. He wondered why the young lamb had to die, why his blood was on the door. Through the wind and rain it still remained, but he wanted to be sure. So he called to his earthly father with trembling voice so scared, crying, "Father, will you please look and see if the blood is still there?"
She can't go now. We're standing in prayer for Brother Terry and Sister Connie as well. Brother Terry just has come out of surgery, and they was able to get one of the clots, and there's still several in the lower part of his leg. Oxygen level is low. Needs a touch from God. Needs God to intercede on his behalf. We know a God who's able. Amen. We know a God whose nothing is impossible. So we agree tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, for the touching and the healing of our brother. God, his brother Tony stands. God, I pray that right now, God, you will reach into the last hungry. God, that you will anoint his body. Lord, that you will touch him. God, that you will promote healing into his leg. God, we're thankful, Lord, that he's already cleared his surgery. But Father, we pray, God, a continued healing of his body. God, reach down right now, Lord. Just speak the word that he might be made whole. Father, touch him and anoint him in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. Lord, we pray tonight, God, Lord, for Sister Connie, Brother Terry Bowles, God, that you would be with him and touch him and anoint him, Lord. Right now, God, let healing come into his body. God, I pray, Lord, right now that you would dissolve those demons. Dissolve them in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, that his leg might be saved. Father, we pray right now in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, if you believe in prayer, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Glory to God. There's a song that says, "Where could I go but to the Lord?" Man, I'm so glad that we've got a God that cares. I'm so glad that we've got a God that heals. Man, he says, "As our faith is, so shall it be." Certainly our thoughts and prayers are for those who are sick tonight, Brother Terry, especially that God would continue to touch him and to make him whole. Good to have you here with us tonight. Appreciate you coming out on a Wednesday night. Just want to get right into the Word of the Lord tonight. We're going to be bringing the message from the book of St. Matthew in the 8th chapter. I want to read verse number 18. Again, St. Matthew, the 8th chapter, verse number 18. Bible says, "Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side." Allow me to read that one more time. "Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side." Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how we love and thank you, God, for your mercy, for your grace, Lord, for your love. Father, we're thankful of those who have gathered here tonight. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts, speak to our spirit. God, let us be able to understand your word. God, help us to be believers and obedient to your will and to your word. And Father, we do continue to pray for those who are struggling, those who are sick, those who may be afflicted tonight. God, I pray, God, that you would continue to minister healing unto their body. Asking you right now, Lord, just to anoint this your servant. God, anoint these lips of clay. God, I pray, Lord, that you would anoint my spirit tonight, God, to speak what you would have us to hear. And Father, we'll look to you to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And Father, we ask these blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You may be seated tonight. Well, I believe it was David said, "I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord." Amen. Sister Wendy was telling us that Eli, every time they pass by anywhere near the church, he's wanting to know if it's time to go to church. I like that kind of zeal, don't you? I like that kind of energy, and I like that kind of desire, amen, to be in the house of God with saints of God, amen, as we gather together to hear God's word and also to pray one for another and lift one another up. How many know that we're made overcomers by our testimony? Man, how many's got a wonderful testimony? Amen. You know, we got a wonderful testimony if we're saved. We got a wonderful testimony if the Lord heard our prayer, amen, and turned our life around. Tonight, from this very short verse, I want to bring in several things concerning leading up to this situation. Here we find that Jesus has had a busy day. You know, sometimes we think we've had a busy time. Sometimes we think we got a lot of things and a lot of irons in the fire, so to speak, and we got a lot of things pulling at us and a lot of situations that has to be attended to. And, you know, one thing about it, once we have all that, we just might as well buckle down and go ahead and get it done. Amen. There's an old saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Amen. So many times we get so frustrated with the things that we have to do, we end up not getting anything done. But if we'll take them one at a time and begin to address those, how many knows that we'll eventually get caught up? But this was a busy day in the life of Jesus. It starts out that he was on a mountain and teaching to his disciples and ministering unto them the word of the Lord. And now listen, when Jesus began to minister, it wasn't like a 30-minute sermonette. I mean, he knows that the Sermon on the Mount lasted quite a while. In fact, it lasted past lunchtime, and he even had to feed the people that had gathered around. So, but the thing about it, he held their attention. Amen. They were hinging on every word that he spoke, because how many knows that Jesus speaks life? Amen. Thank God that he does, and his word here is life. So Jesus comes down from the mountain, and on his way down, there's a leper that approaches him, and he says, "If thou wilt, Lord, you know, I can be made whole if you'll touch me." Jesus touches the leper, and the leper is healed instantly and cleansed. And then not long after that, the Bible records that there was a centurion who came unto him and told him, you know, that his servant was sick. And Jesus said, "I will go and heal him." He simply said, "Just speak the word, amen, and my servant will be healed." And how many knows that when Jesus spoke that word, that the servant of the centurion was healed? Then we find that they're gathering at Peter's house, and they go in, and Peter's mother-in-law is sick of a fever. And Jesus reaches over and he touches her, and the fever is cooled, and the Bible tells us that she got up and began to minister unto them and was made whole when Jesus touched her. And then it says that as they were there at Peter's house, there were multitudes of people who brought their sick and afflicted and those who were troubled with evil spirits. And Jesus cast out those evil spirits with his word, and he healed. The Bible says all that were sick, he healed them. And then we find ourselves in verse number 18, and Jesus says, "Now when Jesus saw great multitudes," understand now, these multitudes were after all that Jesus had already done, and after all of those that had gathered around Peter's house. And Jesus looks at the multitude, and listen what he says. He doesn't make a suggestion. He doesn't say, "You know what, we probably need to go and rest a while," but he gives a commandment. How many knows that the commandments in the Word of God are something that we don't take as suggestions? Amen. When the Lord commands us to do something, that means he expects us to do that. Jesus gave the commandment to his disciples. He said to depart to the other side. And we've read that before time and time again, but the Lord really began to weigh heavy on my heart about the other side. And what does it mean that is on the other side? Basically, he's talking about across the lake. Now, you know the story. You Bible readers know that when they got into the ship and they launched out and their destination was the other side of the lake, there came up a storm, a very severe storm. And in fact, the disciples was afraid that they were going to perish. But Jesus was asleep, amen, in the hinder part of the ship. And probably not concerned about the storm. And my wife tells me that I could sleep through a storm. But I began to think about the fleshly part of Jesus. I know that he was God robed in flesh. I know that he was the Messiah. But I think sometimes we fail to realize that the human part of him had feelings like we do. He bore our infirmities. It hurt him when they drove the spikes through his hands. It hurt him when they laid the stripes upon his back. And I believe that his body grew tired as he was praying, tired as he was witnessing. This was a full day, and now he's out on the sea, and there's a turbulent storm. And it seems like to me, as we read, he may have been one in kind of an exhausted state. How many has ever been there? I mean, has ever had that Popeye syndrome? That's all I can stand. I can't stand anymore. I mean, we get to that point where the body just kind of, you know, the spirit is willing, but the body just just says, I can't do it anymore. I'm going to have some rest. I'm going to have to get to a place. And we do that because we are human, because of the flesh. So he gets to the other side, and immediately as he gets to the other side, something begins to take place. And I want to begin to talk about the other side just a little bit. Bible tells us that the other side was not evangelized yet. Now I want you to understand that Jesus was in an environment where there were many believers when he was on this side of the lake. That we know that because people were healed when he spoke the word. Spirits were cast out when he spoke the word. He touched and he anointed and he healed folks, and they were all around. Even the leper knew that he could heal him. The centurion knew. He said, you just speak the word, Lord, and my servant will be healed. But it wasn't like that on the other side. On the other side, this was still a lot of heathenism, a lot of idol worship, and they haven't spread the gospel so much on the other side yet, because a lot of the Gentiles were still on the other side. How many is thankful that Jesus made it to the other side? I stand here tonight as a Gentile, and I'm very, very thankful that Jesus opened up the doors to the Gentiles, amen, because I was not born as an Israeli, but thank God I've been grafted in. Amen. Thank God that the blood of Jesus Christ now flows through my veins spiritually. And I could never ever thank him enough for coming to the other side, for realizing that more than just the household of God, more than just the children of God, needed a Savior and needed a Messiah. So think about it, if you will. I mean, has ever heard of getting out of your comfort zone? That's kind of a buzzword or a buzz term or a buzz phrase that has gone around for probably several years. I know they used it when I was working, especially when they were trying to motivate you and trying to get you out of your comfort zone. And what that basically means is get in and press yourself a little bit, stretch yourself, and try to exceed what your norm is. And how many knows that somewhere within us there is the ability to do a little better? Whether that be in sales, whether that be in production, whether that be doing things around the house or whatever. And I believe also in our witnessing and living for the Lord. There's things within us so many times that the body says, you just can't do that. But the spirit says, yeah, get out of your comfort zone a little bit. And the greatest power, amen, that power that comes from the Lord will equip you and enable you, amen, to take that next step. Whether it be witnessing, testifying, ministering, singing, whatever the situation is. So Jesus commands the disciples that we go to the other side. Now, I want to pick up in verse number 23, if I might. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. Amen. That's what disciples do. Man, so many of us, we want Jesus to follow us. We want the Spirit of the Lord to come into our comfort zone. Oh, I didn't think I'd get too many amens on that. But so many times that's what we do. We want Jesus to kind of fit into our life and fit into our world. But understand, when Jesus got into the ship, and Jesus knowing everything that was going to happen, his disciples followed him. Amen. We need disciples today that will follow Jesus wherever he goes. If he takes us into the storm, let's follow him. Amen. If he takes us to the other side, let's follow him. Because Jesus knows where he's going. He knows his destination, and the Spirit of the Lord will lead us and guide us many, many times when we have no idea where he's taking us. So they followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Now, if we read that, we might again think that
maybe Jesus was just worn out. I'm just so tired, I can't do it. Penny last night, she was wore out. You know, we went to a place and did a lot of walking, and she's got an app now on her phone that tells her exactly how many steps that she took. And, you know, I think she was okay till she saw that. She was feeling pretty good, and then she looked on there and she said, I have taken this many steps today. I don't know if I got that app on my phone or not, but I step and step with her. You know, she made me tired when she said, well, look how many steps that I made. And you know, so many times our body will dictate to our spirit. Hello? And it should be our spirit dictating to our body, to our flesh. You know, I've told you about fasting. And everybody has their own way of fasting and all, but my granddaddy talked of a preacher, a man that when he was an evangelist, a traveling evangelist, and I'm not telling you have to do this unless you got really, really great faith, but he would tell his wife, go ahead and fix my plate and set it before me. And he would sit down at the table and he would take that plate of food and he would bring it up to it and he would sniff it and he said, flesh, you are not getting a bite of that. Because he was sacrificing, he was fasting unto the Lord, you know. He was telling his spirit, I am more concerned about making my spirit stronger than I am about feeding the flesh. Now, I don't know if I'd have that great of faith. But you know what? There's times we do need to fast. There's times that we do need to pray. There's times that we do need to push the plate back. There's times that we do need to turn the television off and get in the Word of God and say, Lord, lead me and guide me and strengthen my spirit. Because I don't want my flesh to dictate to my spirit. So his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Now, why wouldn't Jesus say that? You know, you would might think that might be a harsh saying. But understand, the day's activities leading up to that, they had seen a leper cleansed. They had seen the centurion's servant made whole by Jesus just speaking the word. They had seen him come in and lay his hand on Peter's mother-in-law, and instantly she was made whole. They saw people come in with evil spirits about them, and God cast them out with his word. And they saw that where he touched and healed folks, and now here's a little storm coming up, or maybe not a little storm, maybe it's classified as a great, terrible storm. But they are already fearful, and Jesus kind of gets on to them a little bit and says, why do you have such little faith? In other words, haven't you seen all day what I've already done? And he speaks to the sea, amen, and the winds just calm down. He's ever had Jesus to calm your storms down a little bit. Amen. Aren't you glad that he does that? Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? And then verse 28. How many knows that we often say that the Lord is so many steps ahead of us? I mean, we're worried about the now. We're worried about the present. And the Lord's already got things in the future already taken care of us. Amen. By the way, got a little stressed out this week, so I flipped to the back of the book. Hey, it's going to be all right. Oh, glory to God. I said, it's going to be all right. God's people are going to be okay. Amen. You know, let me suggest that to you. When you get a little stressed, when you get a little tired of hearing all this stuff, when you get a little tired of all the news coverage and everything, just grab the Bible. Amen. And go ahead and flip to the back of the book and understand we're going to make it. Amen. God's going to intercede. God's going to take care. He's got a remnant. Amen. A remnant, glory to God, that Satan cannot touch. The devil can't come against us because greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. You ought to put your hands together and know that God's people are and will always be victorious. Praise God. But Jesus realized something. And I think he realized that there was a need for him to go to the other side. And I want to slow down for just a moment here, and I want to bring some things to our attention. I think sometimes it's necessary that we as born-again Christians begin to confront those things that are in our life. Yes, the healings were wonderful. Yes, they were miraculous, and it's almost like a revival spirit that they were having on this side of the lake. But Jesus realized that there was a need. Now, there's many things and many ideas why Jesus left the comfort of a place full of believers and left a place where the Spirit of God was healing and anointing and delivering folks to go to a place where there were demonic spirits that were ready to confront Him. How many has ever heard the word, don't go there? How many has ever been warned about a certain person? Don't go there with that person. I believe there's sometimes we as born-again believers need to confront those demonic things. And when I say demons, I'm not necessarily talking about demon possession or anything. There's just little things that nag us. Let me tell you something. I call them, how many's ever fought with gnats? They're not very big, are they? A gnat is nothing that you're just going to say, oh my Lord, there's a gnat. But aren't they one of the most aggravating things in the world? And we just swat at them and swat at them and fuss at them and fuss at them until finally we confront the gnat. Or the fly. Well, fuss about them, fuss about them, fuss about them. But you know what? The Lord was speaking to me. You know, there's things in our life we just allow.
Come on now.
Oh, yes.
It's no great big old thing, and we're not really harboring any ill feelings, but they're aggravating. They're frustrating. We'll swat at them a little bit. Man, but I believe there comes a time when we need to lean on the power of God and confront the things, amen, that are dragging us down. And I don't have to name them. We know what they are in our life. I know what gives me the biggest problems. I know what are the biggest obstacles in my life. And as long as I just swat at them, as long as I just realize that they're just aggravation, amen, they're going to still come after me until I decide I'm going to the other side. I'm going to go after them. I'm going to get on the offensive. I'm going to go to those things, and I'm going to confront them in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to rebuke them as Jesus did. Now, some would say Jesus was doing this. In fact, the demons even kind of let out a little bit of what might have been going on because they said, what are you doing this? It's not our time or not the time. You know, they were pretty much in control. Because they were still heathenistic worship there. They were still idolatry worship there. There were still evilness and evil in the land. Jesus hadn't gone over, the disciples hadn't gone over and converted many people. There was a lot of people living in sin and living in some terrible situations. And let me tell you something, whether we realize it or not, the devil's having a heyday with what's going on in our world. He loves it. He loves confusion. He loves lies. He loves innuendos. He loves making the church fearful. He loves coming at you. And so many times all we do is just kind of swat them away a little bit. Just kind of get, but you know what happens when you swat them away? They come back. Those aggravating gnats will come back. And here we find, and when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils. They came to Jesus. They confronted Jesus. I'm so tired of the devil getting in my face. Amen. When I've got the power of the Holy Ghost within me. Amen. I've got a power that's greater than anything that hell has to offer. I've got a power within me, not because of who I am, but everybody knows it's because of who he is and because of where he lives in my life and my heart. And I want to see more children of God use the power that is within us and confront those things. Amen. And put Satan back in his place where it says, get thee behind me in the name of Jesus. There met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs. Now, let's just put ourselves in that situation. We've just left a revival spirit. We've just left and been a part where healings was going on and evil spirits were being cast out by the word and fevers were being cooled and lepers were being cleansed and we go over to this situation and you know, we don't have to wait to find any demonic spirits. Here they come running out of the tomb, coming after us. I don't like it when Satan's that aggressive. Why is he that aggressive? Because we as a church have let him be that aggressive. We have backed up to him a little bit. Come on, I'm not preaching anything new. Come on, we got the power. We sing it. We got the power in the name of Jesus. Let's use it. Come on, let's demonstrate it. Let's get on the offensive. Amen. Let's don't let Satan come in and tear our house up. Let's don't let Satan come in and tear our families to shambles. Let's don't let Satan come in and mess our communities up. Greater is he that is within us. We got the power in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And let me tell you, when we demonstrate that power, that's the only thing that Satan will respect. Is the mighty power of God. So Jesus comes and he steps out on the shore there, out of the boat, and here comes these two possessed men running out of the tombs, and the Bible says exceeding fierce. Exceeding fierce. Now the Bible says sometimes that Satan can even come as an angel of light. I don't believe they were coming as angels of light. The Bible described it as being exceeding fierce. Can I just ask you, without raising your hand, without acknowledging, have you ever faced something in your life that was exceeding fierce? It can be anything. It could be a natural thing. It could be a spiritual thing. It could be anxiety. It could be fear. It could be all of these things. You know, so many times we struggle with his anxiety and fear. But you know what? Satan's loving it. And he's getting stronger and stronger coming against us because he's found out that we will retreat rather than march forward. But Jesus didn't back up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said Jesus didn't back up. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You know, let me tell you, Satan will bully you and back you up as far as he can back you up. But the only thing he's going to respect, I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to stand, amen, armed with the armor of God. I'm going to take the sword of the Spirit and I'm going to rebuke him in the name that is above all names, in the name of Jesus Christ. I refuse, amen, to back up to Satan. I refuse, amen, to run from the fierceness of that demonic spirit that comes against me. And I thought about confronting those things without naming them, without raising our hands and say, Brother Eddie, I got issues here. Take charge of those issues. Confront them. Face them. Because if you don't, they'll never go away. Get victory over them. Little contraband, little things that we've been carrying along for years and years and years. I'm not saying you're backslidden. I'm not saying you're demon possessed. I'm not even saying that you're controlled by Satan. But all of these little things that have caused an interference with us worshiping and serving and praising God in the manner that we need to. It's time to face them. It's time to go to the other side. And going to the other side, you're going to have to take the initiative. And the initiative that we're going to have to take is the Word of God. I'm not telling you to go out there and face those things alone. Jesus is not asking you to face them alone. He's just asking you to put your faith and trust in Him and speak the Word with authority. You never have to back up from the Word of God. You never have to apologize for the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is not going to change for me. It's not going to change for you. It's the same that it's always been. So he comes and he comes to over the other side and he gets out of the ship and he's walking up there and here comes these two possessed devils coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce so that no man might pass that way. You know what Satan says? Oh no, you're not getting any closer to God. I'm not going to let you do that. I'm not going to let you step out on faith. You know, He does that so many times. If we, so many times when we're praying for healing, and this has happened more times than not, when we're praying for healing and all of a sudden the pain even gets sharper. You know what that is? That's Satan saying, you're not passing this way. You're not going to get healed. I'm going to make it hurt even more. But you know what you need to do? Don't take a step back. Take a step forward. Say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that pain. I rebuke that sickness. I rebuke that fever. Amen. I am going forward in the name of the Lord. So he didn't back up. Behold, they cried out saying, listen to this, what have we to do with thee? You know what that means? You ain't got no business over here. Come on. This is our playground. You get back on the other side. You know your place. You Christians know your place. Don't you get out and try to evangelize the world. Don't you get out and try to convert those heathenistic worships. Don't you go out there and spread the God. Satan wants you to just stay right here in your little group, in your little comfort zone. Amen. And not evangelize and not minister and not testify and not reach out to others. But how many knows? Sometimes we got to get to the other side. We got to get to the other side and run him completely out of the way. And they said, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Tell me the devil doesn't know his place. He knows Jesus is all powerful, the Son of God. He knew him. And then they said, art thou come hither to torment us? We're going to get to that other part in just a little bit. Why have you come here to torment us? Automatically, the devil, the fierceness and the stronghold that Satan had on those two men has now already become apologetic and already knew their place and said, why have you come here to our territory? Why are you coming into this house that we already run and that we already own? Why are you coming to this vessel that we already have control over? Or why are you coming over to this side where we already have the power? So much so that no man would even pass through where they were. That's how fearful, that's how strong they were. That's how that they had basically bullied those that lived in that area. Jesus didn't back up. Jesus didn't have to back up. Why art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Now, I read that and I read it again and I got all excited. How many know we say this all the time? Words mean something. How is it that the demons knew that their time was coming to an end?
Come on.
I'm talking about the back of the book. And the devil's saying, it ain't time for you to defeat us yet. We still have the reign of this world. We still have evil spirits in high places. Lord, why are you coming before it's time? That lets me to know that Satan knows that his time is short. Satan knows that he's going to be defeated. Satan knows that greater is the power of God than anything that he has to offer. And they're saying, you're coming too quick. Why have you come hither to torment us before our time or before the time? Letting me know that I understand. Jesus determined that it was time to confront and defeat the demons. He became the aggressor. I'm telling us sometimes, to fight those things that constantly bombard us, we have to take on an aggressive attitude with a power of understanding that I can do all things through Christ. I can do nothing within myself. But I don't have to fight those battles within myself because I have the power of God. So we need to take advantage of the power that is within us and speak to those things. Those things that come against us. Like the devil says, oh, you'll never get over that. Yes, I will. I'm going to be determined. I'm going to. I'm gonna put it in the hands of the Lord, and I'm gonna ask the Lord, amen, to purge me. I'm gonna ask the Lord to create within me the right spirit. I'm gonna ask the Lord to give me strength to be an overcomer. I'm tired of being a victim. I don't want to be a victim. Amen. I don't need to be a victim because I am a winner. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. Amen. The Bible tells me that. I think it's time the church started acting like we are victorious, like we're not victims. But we are, in fact, overcomers. You feel like an overcomer? Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. This is so interesting. The devil's got to go somewhere. Well, they got to go somewhere. Even when Jesus cast them out, they had to go somewhere. And they went over to a herd of swine, the Bible says. And they were feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, look at the attitude change." The Bible just said right up there, they were exceeding fierce. They're begging, "Please let me go and be in them pigs." They knew their place. But they would not have known their place until somebody put them in their place. Jesus put them in their place. And they're asking, almost begging. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us or allow us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, "Go." Go. I believe with all of my heart that those little gnats, those spiritual gnats, instead of swatting them, say, "Go. Go." Yes. Satan, with all of your enticements, go. Satan, with all of your fear and anxiety and all of those things that you've tormented me with for years and years, I'm going to speak the word go in the name of Jesus. Go and leave me. I don't care where you go. Just get away from me. Amen. Because power is given unto us after the Holy Ghost comes upon us. Power to be used. And he said unto them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, perished in the waters. Satan has to have an outlet to go somewhere. The demons had to go somewhere. But they left the two men who were demon-possessed, who were tormented, who had such fierceness and aggressiveness in their spirit. And Jesus confronted that. It's been really easy to stay on this side. Sometimes this side gets real, real easy. Not very much ask out of us on this side. Just kind of do this, go through a routine, worship the Lord, sing a few songs, give Him praise. But I believe the day and hour that we're living in constitutes that we have the faith to go to the other side, to confront the enemy. Amen. You know, so many times I think the church has gotten like the Israeli army that was standing on the hill and the Philistines were standing on the other side with the big giant ranting and raving. But it took little David. Little David. You know what? Revival may come from one of our young people. Amen. One of our children may stand up and say, "You know what? Why are we being so quiet about all this? Why don't we stand up and exhibit the power that the Lord has given us?" Because David didn't go out there in his might. He went out there in the name of the Lord. Amen. He got him five little stones and put them in his shepherd's pouch, you know. But I don't believe he intended on using all of them. It don't take but one. Glory to God. And he said, "I'll go out there. I'll go out there and fight him, that old giant." Because he had the incentive. Amen. To take on the offensive. So many times we're backing up and we're running and we say, I've heard people say this, and I don't mean to be offensive. I wouldn't try to be hurtful for anything in my life, but I've just heard this. I've heard after a wonderful weekend service and the Lord just blessing and maybe folks got saved and maybe folks got healed. You know, one of them good kind of, you know, one of them services when everybody's just together glorifying and praising God. And even going out the door sometimes I hear, man, we had such a wonderful service. I guarantee you Satan's going to be on my back tomorrow. You know what I'm waiting on? I'm waiting on some precious saint that said, you know what? We had such a service. I'm going to go out tomorrow and I'm going to find old Satan and I'm going to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Not be fearful that he's going to come put something on me, but you don't have the power enough to say, you know what? I'm just going to go out and look for him and I'm just going to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. That's those that are willing to step out on the other side, stepping out of that comfort zone a little bit. And I think we'll all admit it. Sometimes we do get in a little comfort zone in our worship and praise unto the Lord. You know, because it doesn't take a whole lot, amen, to be a little comfort zone, just glorifying and praising God. But how many is willing to go out on the highways into the hedges and compel those, amen, and absolutely run the devil completely off of this place, amen, in the name of Jesus. You know what? He'll come back. He always does. You know, when he tempted Jesus, what did the Bible say? He left for a season. He left for a season. You know why the devil's so active? Because he knows his time's running short. He knows it's going to soon be over. Amen. I've heard more people talk about the coming of the Lord recently than I have probably in my adult life. It lets me to know that the things are transpiring only makes me have more faith and confidence that the Lord is going to see us through. Again, if you get stressed, check the back of the book out. Amen. We are winners. Amen. If we got any winners in the house tonight, just give the Lord a wave. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Love you with all of my heart. So good to see each and every one of you. Hope and pray that you have a great balance of the week. Looking forward to a weekend of worship unto the Lord. Amen. It's so good to be back having Sunday night service. Amen. It's just wonderful. Amen. I grew up all my life having going to two services. You know, some folks got out of the habit of they just do the one service, and that's quite all right. We just kind of still do it. My granddaddy, if he could, he'd look down and say, "What in the world? Why in the world aren't you having Sunday night service?" I know, because for so many years, you know, my granddaddy was one, he'd have it every night if he could have got a congregation. But he had that zeal in his heart and in his life, and I thank God for that. Amen. If you'd stand tonight, again, we thank you for coming. May God bless you. May God keep you. Understand that God is in control. Please, we need to understand that, and we need to reassure ourselves that God is in control. And if God's in control, it's going to work out. We may not think it is, but it's going to work out.
Yes, it is.
Praise God. Prayer for Brother Allen as he gives in a surgery tomorrow.
Yes, I
mean. Is this shoulder?
Yes, sir. This shoulder.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come for our brother. God, and we anoint this shoulder. God, we know, Lord, that you can work this situation out. Father, I pray not only for Brother Allen, but I pray for those surgeons. God, that you would guide the scalp. God, I pray that you would give him a healing to his body, that you would promote healing. God, let this procedure, let this surgery be a complete success. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For right now, we anoint him in Jesus' name.